Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from Fear the Sword and Hardwood Proxism. Just like yesterday, I'm joined by a fellow blogger of mine, a friend of the show from Hardwood Paroxysm, from At the Hive, from a bunch of other places, from the Friendly Bounce. It's Chris Barnwell. Chris, how's it going?
I'm doing well, just like yesterday. Ready for more over the unders. I'm sure everyone loved our picks yesterday.
Yeah. So yesterday, in case you didn't catch that episode, Chris and I went through the Eastern Conference from the Nets all the way up to the Cavs and did our over-unders, so you can make sure you check that episode out. And then
there was nothing controversial in there at all, either.
Yeah, but there's a certain Canadian, if you want to send your complaints, listen to the end of the episode, send your complaints there. But today we're going to do the Western Conference. It may be a little bit of a trickier conference, at least for me. But we're just going to hop right into this one. So, number 15, you have the Los Angeles Lakers. They overpaid Timofey Mozgov this summer. They gave Luol Deng a bunch of money. They got Brandon Ingram. They got Luke Walton as head coach. They're at 24.5. Chris, where do you have the LA Lakers post-Byron and post-Kobe?
You know what? I'm going to put them over. Why not? I think that they can win 25, 26 games, maybe even 30, just because I think that a lot of the teams ahead of them aren't that good. They're going to unleash D'Angelo Russell. They got Jordan Clarkson, who I really like. They got a lot of young guys that I think they're going to play a lot. I think Luke Walton is a really good coach. Larry Nance Jr. is fun. They might have the rookie of the year in Brandon Ingram. Like, this is going to be a funnish team, a possibly okay team. Luol Deng's not bad. Timofey Mozgov, he might have a bounce back year. Sure, a lot of Cleveland people would argue against that, and they're right to argue against that. Mozgov was just dreadful last year, and he's now 30 years old, so he just might be done. But you know what? There is potential for something all right on this team, and I don't think they're going to get derailed by a washed-up player having his retirement tour and a coach who is just really the publicist for that player.
Yeah, I think they're under. I just don't think they're going to be very good. I think they're going to be good in a couple of years. I'm excited for D'Angelo Russell. I'm excited for Ingram. I like Julius Randle. I like Larry Nance. I just don't think they really have the players to do exactly what Luke Walton wants to do, and I just don't think they're really equipped to be good yet. They might be the worst team in the West. I don't think they will be, but we'll get there to see who I say will be the worst team in the West. But I just don't see over for them, and I just think they're going to struggle against the better teams. So I'm just skeptical. I could be wrong, but we'll see. Next up, we have the Phoenix Suns at 26.5. This is a team that added some young players. They also Eric Bledsoe comes back from injury. You get year two of Devin Booker. They have Earl Watson as head coach now. I have them under. I just don't think they're going to be very good just quite yet. Bledsoe could get hurt again. Booker's going to really struggle. He's not a good defender yet. And all their young guys are really going to struggle. And I just think this team is best served to just kind of let those young guys play and grow, and that doesn't mean winning games. I even think they should maybe look to move a guy like P.J. Tucker and just clear space for all the young guys to just go out and play. And I don't think that's really going to add up to a lot of wins for a team that really was disappointing last year.
Yeah, their young guys are too young. Their old guys are not impactful enough. I'm not huge on Earl Watson. He's not a bad coach, just I don't see him adding wins to them with, like, coaching these guys above where they are. I could see a lot of these guys getting traded, especially P.J. Tucker. They're going to have to pick between Brandon Knight or Eric Bledsoe. Personally, I would pick Brandon Knight just because I don't think you can trust Bledsoe to be healthy at this point. But, yeah, I'm not a big fan of this team. I'm going to go under as well.
Yeah, I think that's. I think the Bledsoe Knight thing is really interesting, especially because they have other point guards on the roster that I think could be decent. So we'll have to see.
Devin Booker's going to be fun, by the way.
Yeah, he's. If you're going to watch the Suns, to me, he's the reason to do it. And Dragan Bender, because I think he could be fun too. And he has a great Dragon Ball Z T-shirt thing that someone made on.
He does?
On T Public. Yeah, if you look it up. The guy who made the Waiters Island T-shirts, I believe, made a Dragon Ball Z Dragon Bender shirt. Stephen LeBron, Alex Wong, I think, is the one who tweeted and showed me that. And it's definitely online. So check that out. You can find a ton of stuff on TeePublic. A lot of good NBA tees.
In Orlando, there's a Dragon Ball Z-themed noodle shop.
I'm moving to Orlando.
I need to go there still. I think they play Dragon Ball Z on the TVs there all day long.
I'm going to move there. next up, you have 13th. You have the Sacramento Kings at 32.5. This is a team that could be better. They could be worse. A lot of it depends on what happens with Boogie Cousins. If Dave Yeager can really stabilize them, if they get what they need out of a lot of positions, I'm gonna say under just because I love Boogie. I love Yeager. I don't love their overall roster construction. They don't have a good point guard on this team. And they might as well just have to trade Rudy Gay. So I just don't really see them being good enough to win 32.5 games. And that really sucks because DeMarcus Cousins is freaking amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to go under two just because the roster construction, just it doesn't make any sense. They have four point guards on the roster right now. Although depending on what happens with Darren Collison, that might end up being three because he might get suspended for a while. They have a billion centers. There's no construction at all. Like, that makes any sense. Rudy Gay is already begging to get out of there. Costa Kufis, who's a really good player, he's got to go. Ty Lawson's there for some reason. Aflalo hasn't been good for a while. Matt Barnes is there. My God, Matt Barnes is there. Why? I feel so bad for DeMarcus Cousins. He's so good. He's going to have those games where, like, he just makes them look great. But, yeah, this... It sucks because they have a good coach and they have some good players, but the roster construction doesn't make sense.
No, it just really doesn't. They're not really set up to succeed, I think, in any meaningful way, and that really sucks because they could be something special if around Boogie if it was built right.
They might go over just because Yeager's going to squeeze every win possible out of them, but that is not a good team.
No, not a very good team. Next, you have the Denver Nuggets. They're at 34.5. This is a very young team. The coach, Mike Malone, they play hard. They have Moutier, Jokic, Gary Harris, added Jamal Murray in the draft. Where do you stand on the Nuggets, Chris?
I'm going to go over. I like Moutier. I like their veterans. I think their veterans and Michael Malone are, like, bringing up the young guys well. Gallinari's pretty good. Wilson Chandler's good. Fareed's weird. I don't know how I really feel about him. Jokic is really good. Nurkic, they might end up trading him, which Jokic is a really interesting situation. That's one. Gary Harris is fun. Like, I just really like this team. They're not going to make the playoffs, but they're going to be fun to watch.
I stand in the same place. I think they should be over, but I could also see under. It's just young guys don't always improve linearly. We said that yesterday. We're talking about Kristaps. And just things could break wrong, and they have to figure out some shooting. Under definitely to me is in the cards, but I see incremental improvement for a core that I'm a pretty big fan of. And the free thing is just weird.
One funny thing about the Nuggets is Mike Miller. They will literally sub him in to do nothing but inbound the pass. So he has entire games where he'll play like minutes technically, but he'll never touch the floor. He'll just throw an inbounds pass and then immediately sub out.
Yeah, it's a pretty weird thing with him and he at least can give them some mentoring too, I guess. But yeah, let's see. I'd be surprised if he played a lot this year, but I kind of wouldn't mind it because they might need him to shoot. But the Cavs tried that and that didn't really work. So yeah. At 11, you have the New Orleans Pelicans at 36.5. This team has Lance Stephenson in camp right now. They added a couple other players in free agency. It's largely, though, the same team. Tyreke Evans won't be around for a while. Jrue Holiday also won't be with the team to start the year because his wife is dealing with a brain tumor, and that's just a very complicated situation. Understandably, he is not focusing on basketball right now. So even with that, I just say over. I just believe in Anthony Davis, man. He's transcendent. I think he's still great, and I don't think it's really fair to bury him yet. I think year two of Gentry can maybe get them better, and I do like some of the guys they added over the summer.
Under. I haven't really liked the Pelicans for a long time. I think the 1 year they made the playoffs, they were at 500 on New Year's, and then they somehow squeezed out a bunch of wins to the playoffs, which was miraculous. There's really not much defense on the bench here. They don't really have a good bench. They're going to have to put trust in Lance Stephenson, and that's never a good thing these days. That stuff with Tyreke Evans is awful because he has a blood clot. That I am really hopeful that everything works out for Jrue Holiday and his family. Like, that is really scary stuff. But their big signings this offseason were Etuan Moore and Solomon Hill. And they might be starting, and I like those guys, but those are rotation players. They're not starters.
Yeah, that's true.
And they don't even have Quincy Pondexter is not going to play again.
Right. That's true. I mean, there are injury concerns again for a team that dealt with a lot of injuries last year. I just believe in Davis, and to me, I have to give somebody wins. And the team that we're going to talk about next, I'm just really not all excited about. So that team is the Dallas Mavericks. They're at 39.5. They are eternally just kind of there. They still have Dirk. They have added Seth Curry and Andrew Bogut and Harrison Barnes, lost Chandler Parsons. I'm under on the Mavs. I know Rick Carlisle is a great coach. Yeah, I just don't feel great about this. Dirk has to just decline at some point. Maybe it's this year. I don't think they really have enough at point guard. Wesley Matthews, to me, would have to be a lot better to me to feel better about where he's at, as he still kind of comes back from an Achilles. Harrison Barnes is fine. He's an average NBA player. He's a downgrade from Chandler Parsons in a lot of ways. And is Andrew Bogut going to be healthy? I don't really know. I just don't really see a lot to like about Dallas. If they do beat this total, I think it's because of Rick Carlisle getting a lot out of Dirk and maximizing what they have. And he, you know, frankly, he probably will be able to do it because he's Rick freaking Carlisle.
Rick Carlisle is a warlock, so I'm going to go over. I really don't think that they're a bad team. Darren Williams showed that he can still be a capable point guard last year, even though he's on the wrong side of 30. Dirk found the Fountain of Youth somewhere. That guy is still useful, which is just incredible. I like Wes Matthews. I think he'll be good now that he's healthy. Bogut's a good defender. Even if he's got some health issues, I think he's a good defender. And I honestly don't dislike Harrison Barnes. I think if all they're going to be using him as is a spot-up shooter, I think he'll be fine. I don't think he's a terrible player by any means. I don't think he's going to raise the bar for them by any means, but I don't think he's going to be bad. And you know what? Unlike Chandler Parsons last year, he'll actually be on the floor.
Yeah, that's true. I just don't think he's just fine. Like, he's just the definition of just kind of like average NBA starter.
He's okay. He's getting paid way too much for being just okay, but you know what? Props to him for hitting the market while it was hot.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely capitalized. Good for Harrison Barnes. I don't begrudge him for getting paid because I certainly would take that money if someone offered to me. And I am way worse at basketball than Harrison Barnes. So I would, good for him. Number 9, we have the Minnesota Timberwolves at 41.5. They obviously added Tom Thibodeau. They have Cat coming back for year 2, Wiggins year 3. Drafted Chris Dunn. Looks like KG is gone. Looks like Nikola Pekovic is going to not really play this year. But they have bring a lot of younger guys back. They're, again, at 41.5. Where do you stand on the Wolves, Chris?
I'm going to go under. I think their young guys are still too young. Their bench is not good at all. They have a really atrocious bench. And I really like their core that they're building. I really like Rubio. Chris Dunn was one of my favorite players in the draft. I'm thrilled that they got him. I think he's going to make that team really good in the future. But they're still too young. Karl Anthony Towns is only in his second year. Wiggins still hasn't really broken out yet, and he's in his third, but he's still only 21. Like, this is a really young team. They're going to be really good someday. They have a coach that's going to make them really good someday. But I don't see it from them this year. Like, just they're not there yet. Give them another year. Maybe next year, but right now, that bench is just too bad to me.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're there just yet. I think they are clearly a team on the rise, a team with maybe the best young duo in the league with Cat and Wiggins. But I think if you're banking on Chris Dunn helping them a lot, it's not really – rookies just don't do that. You need to see a year from, in my opinion, of them just growing. They might make the playoffs, but it would take some luck. I have them under as well. But I think if you're going to – for a lot of reasons, they're a team you should just watch a lot because Cat's awesome. Wiggins, I'm a big fan of, and they are going to be really good. And Tibbs, if anything, is going to make them better on defense and is really going to bring some really good things out of them before they get run into the ground in, like, April.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think they're going to start off pretty well. I think they're going to be around 500 most of the early parts of the season. But I think when they get into, like, the later parts, when some of those other teams start to gel a little more and their bench really starts to show their lack of depth, then that's when they're going to start losing a lot more games.
Yeah. Youth just doesn't always serve you well when you're looking to see big improvement. You need to just go through some growing pains, and like a guy like Zach LaVine really has to kind of go through some of the motions yet still.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the GEICO app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the GEICO app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.
At number 8, we have the Houston Rockets, also at 41.5. Obviously, they didn't change a bunch. You know, they lose Howard. They paid a lot of money for Ryan Anderson. They had Mike D'Antoni as coach. I feel really weird about Houston. I think they could be over, and I think I have to put them over, but not by a lot. And I could see them finishing, honestly, at 41 wins or 40 wins or something like that. I think they're just going to be fine. They're going to score a lot. They're going to be really, really bad at defense. And, you know, I know he wasn't great last year, but James Harden is a very good basketball player in his prime or inching towards his prime if he's not there now. And good players tend to win a lot of games. That's just the most basic rule of NBA basketball that there is.
I'm going to put them over as well, but I'm actually a little higher on them than you are. I think that they're going to score so many points that their lack of defense won't really matter all that much. I think that James Harden is going to have a bounce back year. I think that, like, they're not going to hate each other to the level they did last year. I feel like Harden listened to all the people crapping on him all summer. I think he's going to come in with a vengeance because of that. This is still a solid roster of players. They added some players I like such as Ryan Anderson. Patrick Beverley is still good. Corey Brewer is probably going to have a bounce back season. This is going to be a good team, and I think they're going to win a lot of games.
They definitely could take a big leap because they score so much, but they might just be so bad on defense it might not matter. That's kind of where my problems lie.
That's fair. Mike D'Antoni just... he hasn't been a revolutionary coach since 7 seconds or less, and he constantly battles the superstar personalities, and James Harden got Kevin McHale fired. Like, that's concerning.
And Clint Capella is the only thing keeping that middle of that defense away from being terrible.
Like, oh, jeez.
Yeah, there's a lot that go wrong there, but the rest of the West maybe helps them because they can feast on some of those lesser teams by outscoring them. Next, at 7, we have the Memphis Grizzlies. They are at 43.5 wins. Obviously, Marc Gasol comes back for them. They hired David Fizdale. They re-upped Mike Conley for a ton of money. And they added Chandler Parsons in a move I don't think a lot of people expected. I have this team over. That is obviously with a caveat that Gasol is healthy, that Parsons is healthy. And that's obviously maybe a bit of a jump. But the potential is really there for this team. I think they could be potentially the third or fourth team seeded in the West. I like them a lot if they're healthy. And I think Parsons, again, if he's healthy, gives them something they have never had in this grit and grind era. This is a new chapter for them if Parsons can be everything he can be.
Yeah, I have them over too just because the Grizzlies are the Grizzlies. If they're healthy, they're going to win games. They would have been really good last year if they were healthy. If they're not healthy, they'll lose games. Like, don't bet on – if I don't encourage gambling, but if you are going to do that, don't bet on – do this with the Grizzlies because injuries could totally ruin your gamble. But just that's what it is. They're going to hit the over unless they get injured.
Yeah, and even last year they were really nutty good kind of when they had that bench mob.
They still made the playoffs,
yeah,
which is absurd.
And, like, Lance Stevenson was awesome. Like, for them during the end of the year. It's kind of crazy. And they have Vince Carter. They have old Vince Carter, which is kind of crazy and awesome.
I love Vince Carter.
Yeah, it's nuts that Vince Carter is, like, still good at that age, but whole other thing.
A couple of years ago when the Grizzlies were in Orlando for Orlando Summer League, Vince coached on the sidelines at Summer League, and he looked like he was having so much fun, like, coaching in Summer League. Like, it was the best.
Yeah, Vince is awesome. Next up, we have the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're at 45.5. Obviously, they lost a certain guy who is named Kevin Durant, I think is his name.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Serge Ibaka.
Oh, and, yeah, you know, lost Serge. They're screwed now. But they lost KD. Not a lot of other changes. You know, they get Sabonis. They add Oladipo. They're at 45.5. I'm having them an over, but it's not necessarily because I feel great about them. I think a lot could go wrong, but I don't love a team that is ahead of them. I think there are just wins available for them to soak up, and I believe in Russell Westbrook as a franchise player. I think they're slightly over it, maybe 46, 47. That's about where they go.
I'm going to go under just because I don't know how they're going to shoot. Like, they just lost their best shooter by far, and they replaced him with Victor Oladipo, who Oladipo's not bad. Like, I watched Oladipo in Orlando a lot, but there's some problems with Oladipo and his game. He's very similar to the way Russell Westbrook plays. He's more similar to Dwayne Wade than that. He doesn't have much of a three-point shot. He's very much a drive-type player. And without the shooting to really open up those lanes for him, Russell Westbrook's going to get to the rim no matter what just because he's that fast. But for guys like Oladipo and Roberson who need that shooting to create those lanes for them to get to the rim, that's going to be really difficult for them.
That's fair. And also, I just think things could just go kind of wrong for them because there just isn't the same level of just anything because KD's gone. I mean, without Russ trying to elevate them to another level, and we have to really bank on guys like Oladipo and Steven Adams improving. And we'll see. It could happen. I think it will, but not by much. So we'll see. I'm a little bit shaky on them, but I do love Russ, and I do think they have the potential to be something really good if everything breaks correctly. And that's sort of, to me, a theme of a lot of these teams out west. Is like, if things go well, they're fine. But it takes a lot besides the team in Golden State for everything to kind of break well.
Yeah, it's not that the Thunder are bad. I have them in the playoffs. Just, I don't think they're going to be 45 wins good. Just, I'm not really high on them because of that. If they are, I won't be shocked by any means. It'll just have to mean that one of their younger guys kind of broke out.
To me, it might have to be Depot.
Right, that's the thing. Oladipo really has to show that, like, it was Orlando that was holding him back and not he himself that was holding himself back.
Yeah. So next up we have the Portland Trailblazers. They obviously have Damian Lillard and McCollum and a bunch of other guys, but they added Evan Turner this summer in a big money deal. I'm under on the Blazers. I think last year was a little bit of a fluke. I think they improved in a way that was unexpected after losing LaMarcus. I think the Evan Turner fit is just bad.
That made no sense.
No, it didn't. If they would have got Parsons, I was in, but not this. I just don't really see what's to love about this team. I'll go under on the Trailblazers.
I will go under on them as well. I didn't think they were that great last year. Like, the people who were saying they would have been the second seed in the East last season were insane. They only won 44 games, and the reason they won those 44 games is because they had a really good two-month stretch. But outside of that two-month stretch, they were pretty mediocre otherwise. They're not a bad team by any means, but their best players are Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, and then it's a pretty big dip to, I guess, Maurice Harkless, maybe Al-Farouq Aminu. Like, whoever their third best player is, they're not that great. Like, that's the thing. And I really like Mo Harkless. Like, he's a player I love to watch, but there's not much to get excited about for this roster right now.
I'm with you. If Lillard's great, I maybe could see them hitting that mark, but over to me, it would be a stretch. Number four, we have the Utah Jazz at 47.5. They are the hipster team that everybody loves on NBA Twitter right now for good reason. They play a fun style. They have a lot of good players.
They don't play a fun style. I
think they're fun. But
let's hit the pump the brakes on that one.
I like weird basketball, so just let me live in my Jazz fandom world. but they're a team that I think a lot of people just have anointed the team to really frustrate Golden State. But to me, I think they're a little bit young. I do love them getting George Hill. I think they can get over, but I need to see some things first before they really do it. So I maybe say slightly under, but I think over for sure is on the table for this team. Their ceiling absolutely is over 50 games won this season.
I'm going to put them as over just because I feel like they're going to win games. I feel like their defense is going to be really good. I think they would have won more games last year if they had been healthy. And I think that now that they have a really good, competent point guard in George Hill for them, that's going to make them even better. I feel like Joe Johnson was a sneaky, really good signing for him. Joe Johnson's always consistently really good. Shelvin Mack's a fine backup point guard. They have some solid players on this team. I think they're going to win a lot of games. I think Quinn Snyder's a great coach. That said, I'm not as high on Utah as other people. I picked them to win that game against just because someone has to win games. But I don't think they're going to be a great team by any means, if that makes sense. No, I think they're going to really struggle to put up points at times.
I think that's 100% fair. I think they definitely and have some youth, too. Rodney Hood could regress. They got Boris Diaw. They could have young guys to struggle, and that will certainly matter. But they definitely should be in contention to be a pretty good team. And definitely, I think, could be as high as the 2 seed if things go right. I don't think that's off the table. Number 3, though, is the LA Clippers. I have them as my second-best team in the West. Look, I know that they have flaws. I know that they don't really have a good small forward on their team. I know that they really rely on their big 3. You know what? They maybe aren't going to win the West, but they are going to be really good if they're healthy. Chris Paul is still great. Blake Griffin is great. DeAndre is just so much improved and become a very good player. J.J. Redick, to me, is like one of my favorite players in the league just because he's so smart, sticks to what he does, and it has just been essential to them. They're going to win over 53.5 games to me. I just really think they're going to win maybe 56, 57, and they're going to be the second-best team in the West when the season finishes up.
I am also going to give them over. The Clippers are really good. I know people don't like them for reasons, but that doesn't matter. They're an incredible team. They're always incredible. J.J. Redick, you mentioned him. He looks like the biggest pain in the ass to guard ever. The dude never stops running. Like, he must just run all the time, like, in his free time, because he just runs laps around the court until, like, the defender just gets tired and stops chasing him.
He's very meticulous about his program. If you ever listen to his podcast, he's a very, very meticulous worker and just sticks to his routine. A very, very intelligent guy.
Oh, incredible. I love them in Orlando. Chris Paul is still arguably one of the best, if not the best, point guard in the NBA. There's a reason we call him the point god.
Yep.
Blake Griffin's incredible. DeAndre Jordan is almost reaching an underrated at this point because he actually is a good defender, and offensively, he's incredible. He's awesome in the pick and roll. He's really good. I know he doesn't, like, put the ball on the floor or anything, but it doesn't matter because he completes the shot. That's all that matters. Austin Rivers, people don't like him. Doesn't matter. He's a solid defender off the bench, and he's really transitioned to that point guard role nicely. He's actually a pretty decent NBA player at this point. Wesley Johnson looked good last year. Doc Rivers, as frustrating as he is as a GM, is a pretty good coach. They added Mo Spates. This is a good team. They're going to be a good team. Are they going to contend? We'll find out. But I don't really care about that because this is over-unders, and they're going to win a lot of games.
Bingo. You hit it on the head. Next up, we have the San Antonio Spurs. 56.5. Obviously, Tim Duncan retires. They add Pau Gasol. I go under. I just don't think this team is going to be as good as they've been in years past. I think their defense are going to struggle, and that Dwayne Dedmon could be a sneaky little signing for them and help them with rim protection, but I just don't really love what I see. Kawhi could take another big step and help them get over that, but when they're playing a lot of Gasol and Aldridge together, I think teams are just going to destroy them and attack the rim a lot, and I think under for the Spurs.
I'm going to go over just because someone has to win games. I don't think it's going to be – they're not going to be as good as they were last year. And if they do have it under, it won't surprise me by any means. But I still think they're going to be a really good team. your problems that you mentioned are 100% correct. I don't like Gasol at all. I do like Aldridge, but I really don't like Gasol. Kawhi Leonard's still really good. Tony Parker's still really good. Popovich is still an amazing coach. They're going to win a lot of games. I think they're going to finish in the top half of the conference like they always do. So I feel like that's the most important thing. Like, they're not going to win 60 whatever they won last year, but they're still going to be in the top half and probably in that 4-3 seed area.
Yeah. That is definitely their best case. They're going to be in the playoffs. They always are in the playoffs, barring crazy injuries, but I'm just not really sold that this is to me a transition year for the Spurs.
It's one of their weaker teams.
Yeah, it is. And I think just with Gasol, they're clearly just working towards maybe making a run at a max player next summer because they can, I think, shed a salary. So I think this is just like a 1 year. Let's see how good we can be with a guy who has always kind of wanted to be here, and we'll figure it out. So we're going to wrap this up with the number one team, the team with the highest overall projected win total or betted win total or whatever you want to call it, at 66.5. That is obviously the team that blew a 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals. It's the Golden State Warriors. I had to get one in. I didn't get one in the other pod. I had to get that joke in. It won't be dead until next June. The Warriors obviously added Kevin Durant. They get Zaza Pachulia, who maybe is an upgrade over Andrew Bogut, crazy enough. They get David West. They may be getting JaVale McGee. They bring back almost everybody else besides Barbosa. And they won 73 last year. I think I have to go over.
Really?
Look, they just might be good enough to win 73 or to win 70 and just like it be normal because they just have the talent to do it. They could rest and maybe take things slow and not get there and still win the West by like 3 games if they win like 63 games. And I think they probably, if you listen to how they've talked at Media Day, I think they are going to rest a little bit. I think they're going to take their time and not push towards the end of there because I do think they got a little bit tired and banged up. They know that it's a long game. They broke the record. They don't need to do that again by getting KD, and they all know they want to win a title again with this team. So I do say over, but I think there's a very real scenario out there where they decide 63 is enough and they still win the West by like 7 games.
I'm going to go under just because 66 is a lot of games. It's a lot of games. Like, that's a lot of wins.
Oh, that's and a lot of wins.
And like Cleveland, I said in yesterday's podcast, just I don't know if they care as much about the regular season this year. I think they're going to there's going to be games where they rest. I don't think they're going to have too many problems getting Kevin Durant into the system because one thing that a lot of people have been saying is like, oh, they have that whole, they're a new super team, so they have to figure it out, so they're probably going to lose some games early on problem. I don't think they're going to have that just because 3 of these guys have been playing together like their entire careers, and Kevin Durant's the only really new addition to them. So it's more going to be figuring out how to get Kevin Durant in versus how to fit everyone in. They're going to be fine, and they're going to win a lot of games, but I don't think they're going to win that many games. 62, 63, sure. 67, no.
I think they definitely can.
They could. If they wanted to, they could. I'd pick them to win 80.
Yeah, if they really tried, and just that was their goal, I guess. But I think they'll do it. I just think the talent's definitely there. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, but there's so much to like about that team. I think it's very much in play. So, Chris, thank you for doing these two shows for the Locked On Cavs audience. Where can people find you online if they went to Cavs at Cavs Canada and were very disappointed to find out it was a man in Winnipeg who isn't quite as funny or handsome as you?
Oh, not near as funny or handsome as me. They can find me on Twitter at Chris Barnwell, CHRISBARNEWALL. They can find me on At The Hive writing about the Hornets. They can find me on Harvard Paroxysm writing about really anything. Be on the lookout for the Harvard Paroxysm preview. We're all working on that.
Yes.
And it's coming up. I don't know if that's actually been officially announced yet, but whatever.
funny you bring that up, and we'll wrap up the show. Next week, listeners, I'm gonna over the weekend find a good piece of Cavs trivia. And the listener who first can send me the answer to lockedoncavs@gmail.com, the correct answer, by the end of next week, I will buy you a copy of the HP preview.
It's the best preview possible. It's the best preview available you will find.
With the caveat that we both are writing a lot for it.
That's an unnecessary detail, in my opinion.
Yeah, whatever. But, you know, you should check it out again next week, and I'll release some more details about this on Monday's show. Whoever answers that trivia first, when I figure out what it will be, I will buy you a copy of the HP preview, because I just want you to read it. It's like $5 or something like that, so I'll write it off my taxes. It'll be cool, and I'm happy to give someone something cool to read. But you can find me on Twitter at CWMWrites. You can find the show on Twitter at LockedOnCavs. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you want to listen to your shows, Audio Boom. Thanks again to Chris for coming on. Make sure you give us a rating and review on iTunes. It helps other people find the show. And we will talk to you again tomorrow. This has been Chris Manning. This has been Chris Barnwell. This has been Locked On Cavs. We'll talk to you tomorrow.